Psalms 119, and we'll look at verse number 44. So we'll start this morning. It says in Psalms 119:44, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, dear Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the country that we live in today that we've sung a lot of songs about, dear Lord, that was founded upon you and biblical principles, dear Lord. And dear Father, we pray this morning as we take and look into your word today that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us, strengthen us, dear Lord, today. And dear Lord, I pray, dear Lord, if someone this morning needs some conviction in their heart and life, dear Lord, as we all do at times, I pray that you'd help us today, that your Holy Spirit and your word would work in the heart and life, dear Lord, that that person might, if it's some sin, get that right with you, or if they need to be saved, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit might convict them, and that today might be the time and the place, finally, where they come to you, dear Lord, and ask you to come into their hearts and save them. Dear Father, I thank you for the freedom that you've given me in this country that I enjoy every day, and thank you for the freedom in you, dear Lord, that I have every day as well as a child of God. Thank you for all that you've done. Bless now this service. Help me, dear Lord. Give me the anointing, the help of your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, without that, nothing will be done. So I pray that nothing will be done this morning to quench or grieve you, but I pray that your will would be said and done in everything. Help us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We began talking last week about that phrase that's the most familiar, most well-known in the Declaration of Independence. And we said that, and y'all, we got there after we, you know, talked for a few minutes about it. And it was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And before that it says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then the phrase after that, I can't quote it verbatim, I don't have it in front of me, but that is the government's role. They are to secure or help ensure that is done in our country, in our hearts and lives. That's the role of government. And so we talked about that last week, specifically life. Amen. We talked about the first of those three words, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We talked about life last week and how that life began there, of course, in the Garden of Eden. We talked about how God took and formed man out of the dust of the ground, how God took, reached down with his hands. Man was the only one he did that with, mankind, of how he took down and reached into that dirt, if you will, and formed man's body there in his own image. And the likeness of God, the Bible says, he made us. And we talked about how then after he made our body, our image, if you will, in his likeness, after out of that dust he took and breathed into us the breath of life. And the Bible says man became a living soul. And we talked about because of that soul, that's what separates us from the animals. Amen. And that God made us with his hands. God breathed into us the breath of life. And we have a soul which nobody else does except for mankind. And we talked about that last week and the preciousness of life. Amen. And how today life is being viewed less precious and less of importance, I guess you'd say, than what it is. We talked about abortion some, suicide, and shooting, stabbings, all these things we see today of how life is just something that's not really appreciated and saw as it ought to be, a gift from God, amen, that he's given to us and that he is the creator, amen, and how our founding fathers believed in life being the first of those unalienable rights that they listed. Because after all, without life, you ain't got nothing, right? Nothing else matters. Yeah, you can have the right to bear arms. But if you ain't got life, then what does that matter? You're not alive, you can't bear an arm, right? Or any of these other types of things that we could get into. But it all starts with life. And so we talked about that last week of how important life is. But the second part of that phrase is life and liberty. Amen, liberty. And which is why I asked Maria to sing that song this morning, talking about liberty. Amen. I think Kelly got it on there. I did not check out there. She laid it up here for me. So I think on the back of y'all's bulletin, it looks a little different today. I asked her to put it on the back. I think she did. And I'm going to be reading and referring to these quotes a little bit as we go throughout the message this morning. But the top quote, hopefully there on the back of your page, is one from Patrick Henry, right? Okay. And it says this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists," and there's a lot that believe that and try to claim that today, "but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Amen. I like Patrick Henry. Amen. And the things we know about him through history, and the more I've a little bit here, a little bit there, got to look at his life, boy, I tell you, he was a good man. And thankful for him and the things that he had and did in our history. But thank the Lord, that's what our country was founded upon. Amen. And we'll read a few more of these quotes here in just a minute. But let's go ahead to the third one down your page, another one that Patrick Henry said. He said this, "Is life so dear?" And you're probably familiar with part of this one. It's this famous quote. "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery?" Now, I know he was talking about slavery there, the chains that England, of course, had us under at that time. But go on, it says, Forbid it, we might say, Almighty God, I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Amen. And that's his most famous quote, I think, that we would all be familiar with. What a man Patrick Henry was, but he knew and talked a lot about liberty. Amen. And when we think about liberty, he's one of the ones that comes to my mind in our history. Patrick Henry, give me liberty, give me death. And you think about, he was a man that saw the importance of liberty, or a word that we use sometimes interchangeably with liberty, although it's a little different, is freedom. Amen. And we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But you think about liberty. Liberty is one of the things that our founding fathers said that we were endowed by our Creator with this unalienable right, was liberty. You think about liberty today means a lot of different things depending on who you talk to today and who you ask. But if you take and look up the word liberty, it's used 27 different times in the Bible. The word liberty is used 27 different times in the Bible, and I think it was 25 verses. If my memory was right, I didn't write that part down. But it was 27 different times in the Bible the word liberty is used. I took and Googled the word liberty and definition of liberty, and this is the definition that I saw that I come up with from the dictionary that it had. It had this. Dictionary definition of liberty is the state of being free within society. The state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. That was the one definition that I found. I'll read that one more time, then I'll read to you the second one the dictionary had from a different one. The state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. The second definition I found is a little bit shorter, and it's kind of probably one that most of us would give something like, but it says the same thing in a different way. It says quality or state of being free. That was the second definition I found. That was more short and to the point, but liberty means the quality or state of being free. The verses that we read here in Psalms 119, verse 44 and 45, verse 45 used the word liberty in it. And the psalmist was talking here, connected the truth of liberty with what? Seeking God's Word. Keeping the things that's in God's Word. The psalmist connected liberty with that. When I took and looked up the word liberty that's used most often, especially in the New Testament, if you will, that Greek word, we would say, the definition that I found that I thought was really good, and I kind of modified it a little bit. Okay, I'm going to read to you what I found, and I'm going to read to you the way I modified it. But the Bible word for liberty means this. Liberty is living as we should, not as we please. That's what I found when I looked at it under strong concordance. That word liberty, it means living as we should, not as we please. Now, I kind of added it in here a little bit this way. Liberty is the ability to live as we should, not as we please to live by the help of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. The ability to live as we should, not as we please, by the help of God's Holy Spirit. You think about simply this morning, that's what biblical liberty is. And that's really what we're going to talk about this morning. We're not going to talk about the political end this morning. But simply the fact of liberty and what it means to us as Christians, as believers. And I believe that as we read the quote a while ago from Patrick Henry, a lot of our founding fathers believed that they said, hey, this nation was founded by Christians. I read you the one quote from Patrick Henry a while ago, and on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you think about, I believe most of them understood what the Bible definition of liberty was, that it is the ability to not live as we please, not do as we want to do, amen, but the ability to take and live our lives as the way that God wants us to, amen. You think about simply today, I believe God has given us this morning the ability to live our lives the way that He wants us to, don't you? Amen. I do. I don't believe God would take today and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. But you know what? I know you can't do it. Now, when it comes to sin, we know that all men are born sinners, right? And we know that the Bible does have the law in it and the different things of instruction and all that that show us that what? We can't keep the law. Amen. We are imperfect. It shows us that we are sinners. Amen. That we need a Savior and why we need a Savior. And once we get saved, though, we've got the Holy Spirit of God living within us, and then we can live our lives, as I gave in the definition, not as we please, but as the Lord wants us to and desires us to. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Amen. You think about this morning, we've been given simply liberty in the Lord this morning. He's our statue of liberty, as Maria sung about. And that's why we need to seek His Word, and through His Word, and through His help of His Holy Spirit, we can live a life of liberty, amen, that the Lord, and freedom to serve Him that the Lord has given to us this morning. There's a third quote, but it's actually the second one on the back of your bulletin. The second one is by a man named Peter Marshall. And I was not familiar with him. I looked him up a little bit, and he was a Presbyterian preacher back in the day who got involved a little bit in politics and things of that nature. But his quote was really good, and it spoke to my heart because it gave a good definition, I think, of liberty, pretty much the same as the Bible definition that I read to you a second ago, but in a quote form. He said this, "May we think of freedom," or we might say liberty here, "not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right." And I said, that's the Bible definition. That's exactly what the Strong's Concordance said that I read to you and showed you a while ago. Peter Marshall knew it. Amen. He was a Presbyterian preacher. He had that one right on target. No doubt about it at all whatsoever. He said, freedom's not, I can do whatever I want to do. That's the way most people think of freedom nowadays, right? We got freedom in this country. I'll do whatever I want to do, and you ain't going to stop me and tell me what to do different. Yes, you do have freedom. But freedom's not just doing whatever you want to do. But freedom is the opportunity, as he said, to do what's right. Amen? To do what's right, and you're free to do that. You think about today, that's what truly biblical freedom is. There's three simple things this morning that I want to bring to you from the Bible that the Lord showed me concerning liberty that I found as I studied out this word liberty in the Bible just a little bit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we'll see the first. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, this is what our founding fathers said that we were endowed by our Creator with. One of those unalienable rights was life, but also liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty." Amen. So in other words, simply the first point this morning is this, is the Spirit gives liberty. Amen. The Spirit gives liberty. In other words, wherever the Spirit of God is, the Bible said in verse 17 of Corinthians, he said, wherever God's Spirit is, guess what there's going to be there too? Liberty. Amen. You think about, that's a fact. That's a promise. That's a fact. That's a statement. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If God's Spirit is there, where that is, there's liberty. Amen. You think about today the fact that God's Spirit, if you will, is the one, the author, if you allow me to say it, of liberty. One of the songs we sung this morning, My Country 'Tis of Thee, in verse 4, the man that wrote it, he got it right. He said, our fathers, our founding fathers, amen, our fathers, God to thee, author of what? Liberty. Amen. They realized who he was, our founding fathers. Author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. You think about this morning, the Spirit of God is what gives us liberty. And I believe it was God's Spirit that blessed and Him that blessed our country in the beginning. Amen. You think about today, it's God's Holy Spirit that has blessed me and blessed you in our lives. Amen. I'm glad today that the Holy Spirit of God has blessed me in my life. Amen. That He's blessed me in many different, innumerable ways. Amen. That He's blessed my life. I think about one of the first times that the Holy Spirit of God really blessed me in my life that I think about is the day that He came to my heart and convicted me that I needed to be saved. Amen. I'm thankful for that day that the Holy Spirit of God came, that He convicted my heart, that I was lost, that I needed to be saved, and showed me, if you will, that I could be forgiven of my sins, that I could be saved, that I could go to heaven, that I could have liberty and freedom in Him. Amen. That I could not have to go to hell. Amen. And spend the rest of my eternity there when I die. You think about today, God's Spirit gives liberty. Within every, where is the Holy Spirit today? Where does He dwell? Where is He at? Every one of us know, right? Right here. Amen. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, where's the Holy Spirit dwell? Inside of you, in our hearts. Amen. The Bible tells us that in many different places. You think about today, the Comforter has come. Amen. As we sing about sometimes. He lives within the heart and life of every believer. And so you think about this morning, if where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says in verse 17 of Corinthians, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If there's liberty where God's Spirit is, then guess where there is liberty at today if you know Him as your Savior? In your heart. Amen. And you've been given that by your Creator. And it's an inalienable right. Amen. In other words, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, yes, but you've been given liberty while you're here on this earth in this body to do whatever you want to do. No, to do what is right and what pleases God. Amen? Because that's what liberty is. As Peter Marshall said, as we read a while ago from what the Bible definition of liberty means, the ability to do what the Lord would have us do, the opportunity to do that with our lives. We've been given the liberty and the freedom to do that. And may I say, especially in our country, with the freedom that we have to pass out tracts the way that we do, to witness the way that we do, to assemble together, the freedom of religion, to assemble together like we're doing this morning. Amen. You think about what freedom we have, what liberty we have, but it's all because of the Holy Spirit of God. It's all because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty today. You think about God's liberty helps us because of the Holy Spirit we've been given. This morning we have liberty or freedom, we might say, in this life to do what the Lord would have us to do. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes the thought crosses my mind and I'm getting ahead of myself this morning. I just can't do what the Lord wants me to do. I just feel like some of these things of self-discipline, boy, I need more self-discipline. I failed here today or I failed there today. Realize that if the Spirit of God's within you, you can do what the Lord wants you to do. You've been given the liberty and the freedom to do that today. Zechariah chapter number 4 is another good verse of Scripture here, talking about how the Holy Spirit of God, where His Spirit is, there is liberty. And how the Holy Spirit of God, if He lives within you, you have the liberty to serve God. You have the opportunity to serve Him, the freedom to serve Him, to do what He would have us to do. Zechariah chapter number 4. Zechariah 4 and verse number 6. Zechariah 4, 6 here. As the angel of the Lord is talking to Zerubbabel here, he says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, in chapter 4, 6, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my what? Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. In other words, hey, Zerubbabel, guess what? It's not going to be by your strength. It's not going to be by your power. It's not going to be by your might that you do the things that God wants you to do and that you see these things take place that He's talking about that's getting ready to happen here. It's not going to be you that does it, Zerubbabel, that pleases God and does these things. But it's going to be because of the Spirit of God that's within you. And through His help and His power and His strength and His might and the liberty that He gives you, the Lord's going to see these things take place. May I say the same thing's true in our heart and life today. Amen. If you take today and you're going to serve God, it's not going to be, well, bless the Lord, look at what I did for Him. I'm some great servant of the Lord. It's not going to be by your strength, by your power, by your might. That's pride. That doesn't work. But it's going to be by the Holy Spirit of God's help that lives within you, that gives you that liberty, that freedom, that help, that ability you need to do what God wants us to do. Amen? And see, this morning, that's what liberty is. That's what liberty is. It's the opportunity and ability to do what the Lord would have us to do, as His Holy Spirit enables us and it helps us. We think about, sometimes we've said before, where God guides, He does what? Provides. That's His liberty. Amen? That's His freedom. Where He guides us, He gives us the ability to do those things. How? By the help of His Holy Spirit that gives us the liberty that we have. Because where His Spirit is, there's where liberty's at. But you think about also where His Spirit is, there is liberty, talking about within us. But may I say it a little bit a different way? I believe where His Spirit is, there's liberty. But you think about, there's another place I believe is liberty, and that's in God's house. Amen? That's in God's house. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. Amen? And so in other words, when we gather together in God's house, guess who else is here? The Holy Spirit of God. Why? Number one, because He lives within us. But also because He said where two or three are there, He would be there. So either way you want to look at it, when we gather together in God's house, God's Holy Spirit is here. That's something that I learned a long while ago, that I think sometimes we get a little bit wrong, or people maybe get a little bit confused on, not being mean, but just saying, we don't have to come to church and say, Lord, please let Your Holy Spirit be there. That's something we don't have to pray about. Amen? Unless you got a bunch of lost people here and everybody in the building's lost. Now, if everybody in the building was lost, maybe I guess you might need to pray that. But if you've got two or three that are there, even two or three, that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then guess what? Two or three are gathered in His name. The Spirit of the Lord's there. Guess what? There's liberty. There's freedom. You think about simply saying today that God is here. Every time we meet in this place, we don't have to pray before we come to church, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit be there today. He's there. We don't even have to really pray. Now, be careful how I say this because I don't want anybody to take it wrong. We don't even have to pray, Lord, meet with us today. May Your Holy Spirit meet with us today. We don't have to pray that. Because two or three are there, He's there. His Holy Spirit's there, it's there. Liberty, it's there if He's there. So why sometimes when we gather together, do we not see His liberty? Do we not see His freedom? Do we feel like, well, was the Spirit of God really even here today? It's because I think a lot of times, remember what liberty is, it's the freedom to do what? What the Lord wants us to do. As we ought. Not do whatever I want to do, but do what He wants done. And I think sometimes we take that liberty, we take that freedom, and we say, well, I don't want that. I'm going to do what I want today. Sometimes we make things about us. I believe that's why sometimes people come and they think they're worshiping God, but they're not. They're not worshiping Him. They're doing things their way. Amen? We got to do things His way. You think about simply this morning, the Spirit of God gives us liberty. When we gather together in His house, He's there. He's among us. There's no doubt about it. But are we doing anything, and I'm getting ahead of myself when I say this a little bit, but are we doing anything this morning to quench or to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? You see, today there's things that can be done to quench or grieve His Holy Spirit and to hurt it moving in the way that it wants to. And guess what happens? That liberty is there, but it's taken away. It's stifled. It's quenched. You think about, there's a verse of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, if you want to turn with me there. 1 Thessalonians 5. So I say this, and I'll make a statement once we look at these verses that I believe is important. Hopefully we all can get this morning, myself included. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. I took a look up that word quench. When I think about quench, I think about this right here. Right? Gatorade. Not quite Gatorade, right? Gatorade's a thirst quencher, right? But you think about quenching. I looked up the word quench that's used here from the Bible, and the word quench has this idea. It used another example, a fire extinguisher. Quench means to extinguish. Extinguish. I can't hardly say it right. Like a fire extinguisher. In other words, the fire starts and you get that fire extinguisher out, and what does it do? Pull, aim, sweep, side to side, pass, right? Anyway, all the Bilo Gnome stuff. But you take and you use that fire extinguisher and it extinguishes the fire. It puts it what? Out. Was the fire there to begin with, if there was a fire? Yes. But what happened to the fire? The fire went out. It burned out. You see, the Bible tells us here, quench not the what? Spirit. Why do I point this out? Because I believe sometimes this is exactly what we do. We come into church, God's Spirit is here, God's Spirit wants to move and work, and He wants to bless. We've got liberty in this place, but guess what? Somebody does something they shouldn't do, says something they shouldn't say. The Holy Spirit of God, maybe in a service, convicts Sister So-and-so's heart or Brother So-and-so's heart and says, hey, you need to do this. You need to make this right with this person. You need to come down to the altar and make this right with me. This is what I want you to do in your life. And you take and you say, no, I'm not going to do it, Lord. You know what you just did? You went down the hall and got the fire extinguisher. You lifted up the handle. You squeezed it and you just put out the fire. And that's why you and everybody else that was here today is like, where's God's Spirit at? He was here. The fire was here. But rather than letting the fire burn, amen, and letting the Lord work and listening to Him and coming to the fire and getting some warmth, amen, and doing what the Lord would have us to do, and the freedom, the liberty that we've been given because of this Holy Spirit that lives within us, rather than listening to that, amen, and getting close to the fire and trying to build the fire, come on, Lord, show me. Show me what I need, Lord. I want to do what You want me to do. Help me, Lord. Give me what I need. Rather than encouraging the fire, stoking the fire, amen, a little bit, instead we get the extinguisher out and say, nope, not for me. And when you do that, a lot of times don't you just don't extinguish it for you, but you know what you do? You extinguish it for the person across the pew too. Because if you had taken and have said, okay, Lord, I'm there, I know, Lord, and you would have done what the Lord wanted you to do, I've seen it happen many times. Guess what happens? Then somebody else. Then somebody else. And then somebody else. You know what that sounds like to me? Revival. You think about simply today, that's what it is. When God's Spirit's there, there's liberty. So really, with another thing the Lord says about His Holy Spirit is we can quench it and we shouldn't quench not, He said, the Spirit. But another thing we shouldn't do when it comes to the Spirit is found in Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. You think about simply today, Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not. God's Spirit can be quenched, but God's Spirit can be grieved. Amen. What does the word grieve mean? When I think about grieve, I think about exactly what, when I looked it up, it means grief. Grief. In other words, do we take sometimes and cause God's Holy Spirit grief and to grieve over us? You say, what do you mean? When that Holy Spirit comes and tells you the Lord wants you to do something, and we take and we say, no, Lord, it's we just caused the Holy Spirit of God grief. We caused Him to grieve. We caused Him to grieve. You think about grieve, I think a lot of times, most time we use that word in our modern day talking is when somebody dies. And we take and say, so-and-so is grieving over them. Or they've been grieving for years. I wonder today if maybe some of us in here might have been grieving and causing grief to the Holy Spirit of God for years in our lives. because we won't take and do what He's given us the calling, the speaking to, the opportunity to do, and the liberty to do because of His Holy Spirit. You see, today, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Don't, instead of really saying, Lord, may Your Holy Spirit be at church today. Will You meet with us today? Will Your Holy Spirit be? Lord, instead, what we ought to say is, Lord, I know You're going to be here today. Lord, help us not to do anything to quench or grieve Your Holy Spirit. Help me not to do anything to quench or grieve Your Holy Spirit, but show me what I need that I might do what You would have me to do, that I might have the freedom to do what You would have. You think about simply today, we ought to take and yield ourselves to His Holy Spirit in a nutshell is what I'm saying. Don't quench Him, don't grieve Him, and do what He says. God's Spirit gives liberty. Where His Spirit is, liberty is there. But don't quench and grieve His Spirit. If you do, the liberty can be, if you will, taken away. You won't feel that liberty in the way that you did. You think about God's Holy Spirit of God today, not talking about losing your salvation there. Don't take that wrong. I'm talking about God moving and working in the way in your heart and life, the way He wants to. You think about simply today, not only is the Spirit